is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we are an hour away from tip-off of game number 7 of the NBA Finals. We're going to get you ready for all things game number 7 between the Thunder and the Pacers coming up, including my favorite creative ways to bet the winner of this game coming up in an hour from now. Got plenty of guests set to join us on the program to help us break it down. Coming up in about a half an hour, we'll be joined by Brad Botkin of CBS Sports. Get his thoughts on the NBA Finals. During the halftime, we'll be joined by Josh Eberle of Hoops Mag. We'll get to some live bets for this game. And then a little bit later on in the program, Matt Young from the Houston Chronicle will join us to talk about the big news in the NBA other than Game 7 of the Finals, and that is Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets. And we'll talk about how the market has adjusted on the Houston Rockets and their odds to win not just the NBA Finals, but also the Western Conference coming up next season. But let's jump right into Major League Baseball, because Sunday Night Baseball is about to begin. The New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies for first place in the National League East. The Phillies took the first game of this three-game series and handed their Mets their seventh straight defeat with a 10-2 win on Friday. And then yesterday, the Mets, with an offensive explosion, broke out of their slump in a big way with an 11-4 win over the Phillies, featuring several home runs, two from Brandon Nimmo, two from Juan Soto, as the Mets snap their seven-game losing skid and look to continue to win here tonight against the Philadelphia Phillies. Here's your pitching matchup for tonight's game. David Peterson on the mound for the New York Mets, and he has been nothing short of stellar for them this season. 5-2 with a 2.6 ERA. He had that complete game shutout a couple of starts ago against the Washington Nationals, and in his start after that against the Atlanta Braves in his most recent start, three earned runs, seven innings, five hits allowed, not a lot of strikeouts, three strikeouts and three walks. But when we talk about quality starts for a pitcher, six innings, three or fewer allowed, that's what David Peterson gives you every time out. If we look at all of his starts this year, he has given you a quality start in all but four. That's it. Seven innings, three runs in his last start. Nine innings, shutout previously before that. Seven innings, three runs. 5 2/3, didn't go six, but only one run allowed. 7 2/3, two runs. 6 innings, two runs. 6 innings, two runs. 6 innings, four runs, but only two of them earned. That's important. 5 innings, one run. 5 1/3, two runs. 5 1/3, three runs. 6 innings, two runs. 4 1/3, one run. 6 innings, two runs. David Peterson, a model of consistency for this New York Mets team. Meanwhile, opposing him for the Philadelphia Phillies, Jesus Luzardo, 6-3 with a 4.41 ERA in his previous start. Gave up some runs to the Miami Marlins, six hits in five innings, four runs allowed. Did give up a home run, only four strikeouts. Prior to that, he was magnificent against the Cubs. Six innings with one run allowed on five hits and 10 strikeouts. And taking a look at the splits here on the road, pretty much the similar as he is at home, a little bit better, 4.43 ERA for Luzardo. But this is the real kicker on his splits: night games. Lizardo's made eight starts during the day, seven starts at night. During his daytime starts, Luzardo a 5.77 ERA. During his primetime starts, 2.93. He has been better at night than he has been during the day. This is a key matchup, as I mentioned, for the standings in the National League East. Right now, the Mets and Phillies are tied. The winner of this game will take sole possession of first place. And something that we have to look at when it comes to tonight's game, as we see, as we're moments away from first pitch, Mets and Phillies from Philadelphia. Phillies, slight favorites at minus 123. Total at 8.5 is slightly juiced to the over. But keep in mind, last night's game goes over 11-4. First game of the series goes over 10-2. I talked about this when talking about live betting opportunities in last night's game. The high leverage relievers weren't used. for the Mets. I mean, Stanek and Brozaban pitched yesterday, but it wasn't in high leverage situations. So both of them should be a good go for tonight. If not, Jose Buto, good out of the bullpen tonight. We still haven't seen Edwin Diaz in this series. For the Phillies, they did get their closer, Jordan Romano, an inning of work last night. So he got in. But other than that, we did not see Kirkering. So I do think that we're going to see both those pitchers in action tonight for the Phillies. I actually would lean towards the under in this game. And yes, I know we've had two overs already in this series, but because of the availability of high leverage relievers for both of these teams and the starting pitching quality of both of these teams tonight, I would lean towards the under. So Sunday Night Baseball is going to begin in about 5 minutes from now. The Mets and the Phillies from Citizens Bank. Once again, the Phillies, a slight favorite, about minus 120 to minus 125, depending on the book. And the total is at 8.5 and money coming in on the over. So you can get pretty much even money, if not a little bit of plus money, on an under 8.5 here for Sunday Night Baseball. We'll update you throughout this game on some live betting opportunities as the game progresses. But I want to quickly take a look at what happened earlier today. All games are a final. The Dodgers with a 13-7 win over the Nationals. Nationals scoring a couple of runs in the ninth inning. Four runs in the ninth inning, actually, because the Dodgers put in Kike Hernandez to pitch. And, you know, when we see a game that's going to be a rout, whether you're winning or losing by a lot, the possibility for a position player to pitch is always in there. And we love live betting overs when those situations come about. So if you did live bet the over, even going into the ninth inning, you did hit because the Nationals scored four runs off of Kike Hernandez there in the ninth inning. The Padres got a 3-2 win over the Royals in a come-from-behind fashion. It was the Astros, an 8-7 win over the Angels. Guardians shut out the A's 3-0. Giants, a 9-5 win over the Red Sox. Rockies doubled up the Diamondbacks 4-2, so a win there for the Rockies over Arizona as they avoid the sweep. Mariners with a 14-6 rout of the Cubs. The Reds 4-1 over the Cardinals. Brewers 9-8 over the Twins as Minnesota continues to be in a free fall. We talked about that about last week when we noticed that the Twins had this big winning streak, and then all of a sudden they started to fall off, and they had some injuries, and their pitching staff was not performing, couldn't decide what to do with their pitchers, up, down, send down to the minors, call back up. I think Rocco Baldelli is maybe a little bit over his head there in Minnesota, but the Brewers win 9-8. Marlins a 5-3 win over the Braves. White Sox 4-2 winners over the Blue Jays. Pirates 8-3 over the Rangers. Tigers 9-3 over the Rays. And the Yankees Brighton early this morning a 4-2 win over the Orioles. That was your 11:35 a.m. start on that, the Roku Sunday morning games. But Sunday Night Baseball is about to begin at Citizens Bank Park. The Mets and the Phillies. David Peterson on the mound for the Mets. Jesus Luzardo for the Phillies. Official lean on this game would be on the under, as I mentioned, the under 8.5, which you can get at even money or slightly plus money, plus 105, depending on your book. I do believe that with the availability of some high leverage relievers tonight, I think that this tends to this can be a lower scoring game than what we've seen already here in this series. And if I had to lean towards a side, I think David Peterson's been better than Jesus Luzardo. So as much as I respect the Phillies, I respect their lineup, I respect Luzardo, getting the Mets at even money to me is too good to pass up right now. They snapped their losing skid with the win yesterday, and their bats came alive, and I think that positive momentum carries over into this start today. And I know they say momentum's only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. Well, this starting pitcher here tonight in David Peterson is a good one for the New York Mets. So I'll back the Mets at a plus money price. I'll back the under or at even money. I'll back the under at an even money or plus money price for this Sunday Night Baseball game that is set to begin here in Philadelphia. And then we know the market's going to fluctuate throughout the course of this season. Odds to win the division. These two teams are going to battle it out all throughout. And the Mets right now, minus 110, Phillies minus 105, as each of these teams, you know, come away with some wins and their schedule favors for them, the market's going to change. There were times earlier where you couldn't got both teams at pretty nice plus money prices just based on what the standings were and what the schedule was at that moment. I do think both of these teams will be aggressive at the trade deadline. If I had to pick one team in the futures market, I would lean towards the Philadelphia Phillies only because, and I talked about this yesterday on Live Bet Saturday, I think their window is closing fast, whereas the Mets' window is open and it's going to be open for some time with the signing of Juan Soto and other moves that this team is going to make with the money that they have. But I think Dave Dombrowski, the president of the Philadelphia Phillies, has to acknowledge this roster is getting older. And seeing what his team is with Bryce Harper out, and yeah, they've won a couple of games, but they are not nowhere near the same team. What's life going to be like without Harper? What's life going to be like without Schwarber, without JT Realmuto, without Zach Wheeler? Like, these guys are getting older, and so I think they have to understand their window is now, and it's closing fast. I would expect the Phillies to be one of the most aggressive teams come the trade deadline here in July. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to make a deal. Aggressive doesn't mean you make every deal that you want to make. You're going to go out there and you're going to try. Some teams might not want to do business with you. They might want to do business with somebody else. But if I think that there's a move to be made between either one of these National League East teams, despite the fact that the Mets have all the money, I would lean towards the Phillies making the aggressive move more so than the New York Mets. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir, as this game is about to get underway. We'll keep you updated on what's going on inning by inning with some live betting opportunities. But coming up next, we're going to get into Game 7 of the NBA Finals, because I think there are two creative ways to bet the winner of this game and get more value for your buck when it comes to the winner. That's right. We'll get into Game 7 of the NBA Finals coming up next. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. About 45 minutes, probably a little bit more than that, because, you know, this game doesn't start exactly on time, away from tip-off of Game 7 of the NBA Finals, the Thunder and the Pacers. Right now, the Thunder are 7-point favorites over the Pacers, as we have seen money coming in on Indy throughout the past several days, pushing this number down. And the total has been bet down as well, as we are now at 214.5. Actually, a slight change, slight uptick now to 215 across the board here at Circa. 215 is your total. Couple of things on the total before we get into some creative ways to bet this game. And I do think that there are two very creative ways to bet the winner of this game. If we look at the total, I understand game sevens go under. Historically, we know that. If you look at all game sevens, it goes under, I mean, significantly. 44-28 to the under in all playoff game sevens. That's going back through the database as far as it goes back to 2002. However, in this postseason, we're actually 2-1 to the over. But we know, game sevens historically go under. And I read this great article on, I believe it was NBA.com, and they were talking about in the NBA Finals, specifically game sevens and the slower pace and the less points per possession and why it lends itself towards an under. Now, we only have play-by-play data for four NBA Finals game sevens: 2005, 2010, 2013, 2016. And in those NBA Finals Game 7s, we have had the teams score 6.7 fewer points per 100 possessions than they did in the previous six games. I get that. I get that. We've also seen a slower pace in Game 7s in those four games, dropping by an average of 2.4 possessions per 48 minutes. That's per team. Now, this has been a fast-paced NBA Finals. Pacers and Thunder averaging 110 points per 100 possessions, 99.8 possessions per 48 minutes through the first six games. And so, yeah, we can see a drop-off, and it can be a slower-paced game. But I want to bring something to your attention here as I went through this article. If, yes, we have seen a drop-off in pace in the finals, and yes, we have seen lower scoring games in these game sevens, but look at the pace numbers for these finals. In 2005, 83. 2010, 87.6. 2013, 89.4. 2016, 93.6 was the pace through the first six games of those series. And then in game seven, we saw a drop off. Like in 2016, we saw a drop off from 93.6 to 89. And when pace, I'm talking about possessions. The Thunder and the Pacers are playing at 99.8 possessions right now in this finals through the first six games. That trumps every single one of these numbers. And so I get it. Historically, we know game sevens slow down. Game sevens tighten up. But this series has been played at a fast pace. And to go from where we were, 229 as a total in game number one. And yes, we have dropped down every single game here in this series. We have dropped down from 229 to 228 to 226, 227 and a half, 223, 222 and a half, to now go to 214 and a half from where we were at two in game number six. We were at 222 and a half. Just because it's a game number seven, we're going to drop down to 214 and a half? That's absurd. And I know the reasons. I get it. It's a game seven. We expect it to be more defensive intensity. We expect the nerves to come into play and shots to be missed. Plus, with this officiating crew for tonight, no Scott Foster, I think they might let them play. And if they let them play and swallow the whistle, it actually benefits the Thunder, first off. But it also leads to less scoring because the defense is going to be all over each other. On the flip side, more aggressive defense, more contact, could actually lead to more turnovers and more transition baskets. And we've seen that from the Oklahoma City Thunder. In game number seven against the Nuggets, the total dropped down to 214 and a half from the 218 and a half that it was in game number six. And in game number seven, that went over. Thunder blew out the Nuggets 125 to 93. And it went over. Now, why did it go over? Because the Thunder scored 125 points. In that game, Thunder defense, relentless. In that game, Thunder transition baskets all over the place. And that's what could happen here in this game number seven. Now, I'm not saying, oh, this is going to be an Oklahoma City runaway victory and they're going to blow them out and it's going to be a lot of transition baskets. I'm just saying that could be the case here if you allow it to be played at a certain type of intensity defensively, if you let them have a lot of contact. Plus, I get it, game six went under, but let's be honest. The Thunder took the loss in game number six. The Thunder, after the first quarter, once that second quarter got out of hand, they didn't try to win that game. They played like a team that had a game seven at home cushion in game number six. That's exactly how they played. They took the L. That's my saying. They took the L. Once it was out of hand, once it wasn't going their way in the second quarter, they chalked it up. And we've seen that throughout this series. So don't be surprised, like, or say that I'm ridiculous for thinking that a team actually took an L in a game. We've seen that in this series already. Game number two. Pacers stole game number one. Game number two wasn't going their way. They took the L. They just said, all right, whatever. We're going to lose. It's okay. We got the split we needed. We saw the Thunder take the L multiple times in this series and throughout these playoffs. Now, it's not going to happen here in game number seven. Game number seven, there's going to be no quit in either team at any point, which is why another reason why I think that we almost have to ignore
the under results from earlier in this series. And this, I get it. Game sevens. It's an under game. This is too much of an adjustment now with these teams. 214.5, 215 is too low for these two teams the way that this series has played out. Plus, we know the Oklahoma City Thunder at home shoot much better from three. We saw that jump from the horrific shooting in game four to the lights out shooting in game number five. And then once again, horrific shooting in game number six. They're going to be better from three-point range at home. I just think that this is... I would love to have bet the under if we were staying at what the numbers were for the entirety of this series. If we were around that 222, 223 range, even down to 221, you give me a 219.5, I'm taking the under. At 214.5 right now, 215 here at Circa, this is way too much of an adjustment for the total here in this game. So I actually like the over quite a bit here tonight. But there's two ways that I want to bet the winner of this game tonight. And these are going to be much better bang for your buck than just betting on the Thunder to win the game, minus 250 on the money line, or betting the Pacers money line to win this game at plus 205. I can do you better. And I'll tell you how to do that coming up next. But let me tell you guys about Edge Boost first. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring that all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees and no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. Use promo code LIVE. Deposit $25. Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. We'll be joined by Brad Botkin of CBS Sports covering the NBA in about 15, 20 minutes or so from now. So we'll push Brad back. Coming up next, I'll tell you the two creative ways that I want to get at the winner of this game and get more bang for your buck. Plus, we'll get into player props, maybe even cook up a same game parlay, and our best bet for tonight's Game 7 of the NBA Finals. That's all to come as we are about a half an hour, 45 minutes away from tip-off of Game 7 of the NBA Finals between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter, at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network, at VSIN Live. This is Live Bet Sunday, here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we get you ready for Game 7 of the NBA Finals coming up shortly in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Pacers. And I teased out some creative ways to get at the winner of this game. There's no reason to bet on the money line of this game. There's no reason. If you think that the Thunder are going to win and you want to lay minus 250 for the Thunder to win, don't do it. If you think the Pacers are going to win, you want to bet plus 205 on the Pacers to win, don't do it. Now, the first lesson would be don't just accept those prices, but shop around and find the best money line prices. And so the best money line price is minus 250. If you think the Thunder are going to win, don't do it. Best money line price on the Pacers, plus 220. Don't do it. Actually, plus 230. Don't do it. Don't do it. Again, do not bet either of these teams on the money line tonight. Instead, bet the MVP market. If you believe the Oklahoma City Thunder win this basketball game tonight, the best money line price out there, the shortest price out there, is minus 250. Right now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to be the NBA Finals MVP is minus 210. Laying minus 210 is better than laying minus 250. And I can promise you this, if the Thunder win this game tonight, SGA is the MVP. There's nobody else that will get votes to be the most valuable player of this series. Talk all you want about Jalen Williams' 40-point performance in game number five. And heck, he could have another 40-point performance here in game number seven. He still won't be the NBA Finals MVP. Because in game number six, he had a historic negative 40 on his plus minus. He was horrific. And the team was horrific with him on the floor. You are not in the MVP conversation. For the Indiana Pacers, do not bet plus 220 or plus 230 for the Pacers to win this game tonight. Instead, bet Pascal Siakam plus 350 to win the NBA Finals MVP. Because just like I promised you that SGA will be the Finals MVP with the Thunder win tonight, Pascal Siakam will be the MVP with a Pacers win tonight. With all due respect to Tyrese Halliburton, he has not been the most valuable player on this Pacers team through the first six games of this series. His injury-shortened game number six is going to hurt him in the MVP voting. Pascal Siakam has been consistent in all six games, and if you don't agree with me, I'm going to read you some stats from NBA.com. NBA.com has a new stat, relatively new. I mean, if you're a big NBA guy, you follow this kind of stuff. It's called PIE, also spells out pie. You know I love pie. And that was a joke. That's me basically saying I'm a bigger guy, I love pie. I mean, come on. But PIE stands for player impact, okay? Player impact estimate. And what this metric does is it replaced the player efficiency rating, right? John Hollinger, ESPN, they did the player efficiency rating, and we talk about that every year when we talk about the MVP voting for the league, right? Majority of the time, it's the leader in player efficiency rating. That's how you can tell who's going to be the MVP of the NBA, is you go look up the PERs. The players that have the best player efficiency rating wind up being the NBA MVP. Well, player impact estimate is it's the NBA's version of player efficiency rating. It measures everything that a player does that impacts the game when they're on the floor. All their statistical contributions, right? All their efficiency shootings, everything. Points, rebounds, assists, everything that the player is responsible for. And also their defense. It accounts for their defense and both your participation in positive plays and negative plays. Well, let's look at the six games here in the NBA Finals. Your number one player in player impact estimate is actually TJ McConnell with a score of 18.5, but a lot less minutes. TJ McConnell only 19 minutes per game, right? Only 252 possessions. He comes in, he's like, I don't know, whatever adjective or verb you want to use. I mean, he's a spark plug, right? He's a lightning bolt. He comes in, all of a sudden, a jolt of energy to the Pacers. Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of impact on the games. Number two, though, if we exclude TJ McConnell, because, like I said, only 19 minutes per game and 252 possessions. The starters, meanwhile, we're talking 32.8 minutes per game, 37.8 minutes per game, 419 possessions, 471 possessions, 420 possessions, all that stuff. Top of the list, Pascal Siakam, 16.2 player impact estimate in the six games here in the NBA Finals. He's got an offensive rating of, you know, pretty good offensive rating, pretty good defensive rating. Net rating is going to balance out. 20.3 assist percentage. He's got a very high assist to turnover ratio. But forget about all those accounting stats. 32.8 minutes per game, 419 possessions, a measurement of 16.2 player impact estimate. Your next highest player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 37.8 minutes per game, 471 possessions, a score of 15.9 player impact estimate. Then from those players, you go down to Tyrese Halliburton at 12.9, the same as Obi Toppin at 12.7. But the gap between Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam We're talking from 16.2 player efficiency or player impact estimate, which is the same thing as your, it's, it replaces the player efficiency ratings, from 16.2 to 12.9. Pascal Siakam across the board has been better and more impactful in these six games than Tyrese Haliburton. And by far, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the most impactful player on the Oklahoma City Thunder, because the next highest player on the Thunder would be Jalen Williams, but he's lower than Obi Toppin. He's at 12.2. So, do not bet the money line in this game. Don't lay minus 250 on the Thunder when you could lay minus 210 or even better on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shop around also. Shop for your best MVP price. Shop around for the best MVP price. I'm just quoting DraftKings right now at the minus 210. You can get better than that at other places, probably. Shop around. I'll just quickly, let me look up FanDuel real quick, because these are the most like widely available books that a lot of people listening around the country have access to. Obviously, here in Vegas, you don't have access to these books. Go look around and find you know, what books you have and look at the finals MVP. Shai minus 220. Pascal Siakam plus 270. So you actually get a better Siakam price at DraftKings, which right now is at plus 350. Minus 210 is a much better bet than minus 250. So if you think the Thunder win this game tonight, bet on Shai to win the MVP minus 210 instead of minus 250 on the Thunder money line. If you want to bet the Pacers to win this game, do not, again, do not bet plus 205 on the Pacers to win this game. Pascal Siakam is plus 350 to be the NBA MVP. Plus 350, guys, we know, is a much better bet than plus 205. That is how you bet the money lines here for tonight's NBA Finals game number 7. Coming up next, we'll get the thoughts of Brad Botkin, NBA writer for CBS Sports, get his thoughts on the game and his best bets for NBA Finals game number 7 coming up probably about 25 minutes or so from now, because we know this game is not going to start exactly on time. Hey, if you want to know where the real money is going, well, unlike other sources, our betting splits here at VSiN come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving the insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. Again, vsin.com/subscribe. Brad Botkin from CBS Sports will join me, Scott Seidenberg, coming up next. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live as we're ticking down the moments to the start of Game 7 of the NBA Finals right here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network, as we continue to count down the minutes until tip-off of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Want to reiterate my stance last segment, and you guys can follow me on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir, where I just tweeted it out, the numbers here. No reason to play Thunder or Pacers money line tonight. My way of getting at it would be to bet the MVP market. Shai is minus 210 to be the MVP. That's much better than minus 250 on OKC money line. Pascal Siakam plus 350 to be the MVP. Way better than plus 205 for the Pacers on the money line, and I would be shocked if either one of those players were not the MVP should their teams win this game tonight. Let's head out now to the Progressive guest line, joining us to talk more about Game 7 of the NBA Finals from CBS Sports NBA writer Brad Botkin. Brad, first off, thanks so much for joining us here on VSiN. And as we have gotten closer and closer to this game, the market certainly has fluctuated. Pacers getting some money, total being bet down, Thunder minus 7, total of 214.5. Where have you kind of settled on this game as we get closer and closer to tip-off?
I like what you say about the MVP markets, but first of all, I mean, let's go. I mean, I'm jacked for this game. I don't give a damn about the ratings or whatever people say. I mean, I haven't been this excited for a basketball game in quite some time. So I like what you say about the MVP lines. It's a better play. I do think there's room on the Pacers side. It's a lock if the Thunder win. There's room on the Pacers side for Halliburton to come in and have a huge game. He had the game win, game one, signature moment of the series. He was actually plus 3 even through the first three games that he wasn't playing well. His impact is really unparalleled across the team, and that's shown up even in the games that he hasn't had huge stat lines. So I think if he comes out and steals the moment tonight, which I think he is probably the likeliest guy to do, he really has a knack for the stage. He's a guy that could overtake Siakam, I think, and win that. But I do like that better than the money lines. If I had to take the under, game sevens are always low. History suggests that. The feel of this game suggests that. The way Oklahoma City, I think, is going to come out and defend with that crowd. Some game seven jitters. It's not going to take long and that it for 5 minutes to pass in the early part of this game. You might want to look at a quarter bet. And then I think the end of the game, if it's close, which I suspect it will be, become very, very tight possessions. So I would like the under. I would probably bet the MVP line over the money line if I was betting Shea. But if I was betting the Pacers, I'm not so sure about Siakam.
If it is a close game late, and we know how clutch the Pacers have been, the most clutch team in this playoffs, the most clutch team during the regular season, and Halliburton, the most clutch player of them all, you would agree that a closer game late favors the Indiana Pacers?
God, I wouldn't say it favors them, no. I still think Shea's the best individual closer. I think his ability to get to the line in tight possessions would be a big, big difference. But the Pacers' whole game tonight is to get it to the last 5 minutes. Don't get blown off the floor with the crowd. Don't get smothered defensively. Get too ahead of yourself and let your emotions get carried away and start turning the ball over like crazy. Those are the things they're guarding against. They want to get it to the last 5 minutes. And if they do, then I think it becomes a coin flip. I wouldn't say that the Pacers are some sort of definitive favorite in a tight game. But if they get it there, then they've beaten the hardest part, which is to just not get overwhelmed by this crowd, this moment, this energy, and that defense.
I thought what the Pacers did in game number 6, and conversely, how the Thunder reacted, was the most telling part of this NBA Finals. It was an 18-point lead for the Thunder. Pacers come all the way back and make it a 2-point game with about 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and you're expecting, here we go again, another Pacers comeback, but then Oklahoma City pulled away and won that game by margin in game number 6. And I think that was a big moment for the Oklahoma City Thunder because it showed me...
Oh, you mean
me,
game 5?
Excuse me, yes, game five. Yes, excuse me, game 5. Yeah. Because I thought that was a big moment because it showed me, at least when watching it, that the Thunder kind of got over that hump, for lack of a better term. Like, they felt, hey, we didn't succumb to the pressure of the Pacers' comeback and we were able to pull away and win that game, as opposed to how they reacted earlier in the series where they blew that game in game number 1 and blown games throughout the series. So I do think if it gets like that here in game number 7, I like the Thunder I like the Thunder's response based on what I saw in game number 5.
Yeah, that's a good point. I tend to shy away from the blown game narrative. I hate that every time a team loses a lead, you know, you haven't been watching the NBA very long in the modern game if you think that leads don't disappear every night.
Three pointers, I mean, come on. 10-point
leads are nothing. 15-point leads are sort of something. 20-point leads are not safe. And it doesn't mean you're blowing the game. It's a long, long game, and it's a really good team on the other side. And the first 5 minutes aren't necessarily different than the last 8 minutes. You've got to beat your opponent the whole game. And so I don't think Oklahoma City blew these games. If you want to look to sort of these like karmic Pacers comebacks, I would look at earlier in the playoffs when they're erasing these, 7-point leads with 40 seconds to go. And they did do that in game one. But again, I think you have to credit Indiana's resiliency and their ability to play out every possession, to keep playing with pace, even when, mathematically it doesn't look good. So I don't personally really have any question with the Thunder's ability to close out games. What I do think is the makeup of their team does make them susceptible to long stretches of not scoring. They're not good shooters. They're hot and cold shooters. They've been cold mostly in this series. And so that means there are going to be stretches of games, maybe in the second quarter, maybe in the third, certainly in the fourth, where they go cold for 7 minutes. And the way the Pacers can run misses back at you and get in 25 possessions in a 7 minute span, it's a breeding ground for comebacks. And so I don't necessarily think it's a psychological thing of, man, can OKC shut the door? It's their sort of one fatal flaw on their team is that their shooting can go ice cold, and that's a recipe for comebacks.
That's a tremendous point. Talking to Brad Bodkin, NBA writer for CBS Sports, joining me, Scott Seidenberg here. It's Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network, as we get you ready for Game 7 of the NBA Finals coming up shortly there from OKC. Any players that you're targeting, Brad, in the props market, whether you're going over or under a certain stat?
Listen, this is the reason that I'm not so sure on the MVP line. I'm all in on a big scoring game from Halliburton tonight.
Wow. Okay.
They know that the Pacers, if they get, I think they're undefeated in these playoffs, right? If they get to 110.
Yes.
And you can look at the splits with Halliburton's output, not just from a scoring standpoint, but just his overall aggression. I would be really surprised if Halliburton, the way he came out in game six, I'd be really surprised if he doesn't come out that way. And I just believe in Halliburton's knack for the stage. He very much reminds me of Trae Young in that you can talk about if you think he has flaws, if he's defensively vulnerable, but one thing he is cut out for is the big stage. If Trae Young was playing tonight, I'd be betting his over. And Tyrese Halliburton is pretty damn close to Trae Young in that regard. So I like his over. And give me the line. I should have looked into this, but whatever the line on McConnell is, has got to be being overbet. He's got to regress some. He is literally in play for finals MVP, a long shot, but in play, given that he's the first player off the bench in history to go 60-25-25 in a finals series, and he's still got a game to play. He has been a full-on folk hero. These are human beings that are voting, and if he goes out and has another 20-point game and steals the Thunder, so to speak, and I just don't think I can have – I'm betting on reality here.
Yeah.
And I think he's got to be being overbet with the way that he's been playing. So I think he regresses from a statistical standpoint. I don't know about impact. But those are the two ways I'd be betting is kind of hedging the McConnell market and betting on Halliburton to have a big shooting game.
So no worries about the calf for Halliburton. You think the extra days off and a little bit of a lighter workload in game number six beneficial for him?
Also the way he plays. Halliburton is a guy that tries to kind of shimmy and shake for space behind the three-point line. So he doesn't play a really physical brand of basketball that's going to require him of exploding to the hoop all game off that calf. I think he's going to find opportunities in transition. I think he's going to find opportunities where Pascal Siakam is demanding his double team coverage if he starts getting going. And I just think he'll simply look for his shot more off of catches, off of trails in transition. So the calf doesn't concern me. He looked fine to me in game six. That doesn't concern me. Game seven.
Yeah, and I think he has a quick trigger finger. So I would actually like maybe looking at over three-pointers prop for Halley as well. Hey, appreciate the time.
What is that line?
You're going to have to lay some juice on the 1.5. But, Brad, I appreciate the time. Enjoy the game, and good luck with your bets. He's Brad Bodkin from CBS Sports. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.